Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at TriCountyContractingWI.com.
So when you returned to work, how many beers did you have to buy those guys and gals who saved your life?
we'll leave that unsaid.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
So glad you're with us. Greg Pancake Hill produces the program. Eric Bilstad, Vince Petrano here, taking you till 9 o'clock, and then we give way to Steve Scafidi. Want to begin our segment this hour by playing the words of Milwaukee's fire chief from earlier this year. Words that I remember when I heard them. And they sent a chill up my spine.
I am telling you, we were probably 30 seconds away from talking about planning a firefighter funeral.
30 seconds away from planning a firefighter funeral. Chief Aaron Lipsky talking about a blaze that had spread to three homes on Milwaukee's near south side early April morning. One woman was indeed killed, and firefighter Ryan McMenamin had been trapped inside one of those burning homes. Fortunately, Chief Lipsky did not have to plan a firefighter funeral, and Ryan is here to tell his story. He is going to walk us through that alongside Chief Lipsky. We have Ryan McMenamin in studio. Thanks so much to have you both here today. Ryan, great to see you. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really great. Things have been awesome, and the healing process has been amazing.
Well, you look fantastic. I understand you're on the job, limited to some degree at this point, but you're going to be back out there knocking down doors and putting out flames?
That's correct. We've been doing some training burns, make sure that all the skin grafts are healed up and doing good, and hopefully in the next 2 to 3 weeks, I should be back online in the field.
So before we get into the call for help here from folks and how people can contribute to the efforts to train more firefighters to save more lives, to whatever degree you're comfortable, Ryan, can you take us back to that morning, how you became trapped in this home as you were trying to save lives, and what you remember about, boy, how close you came?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was early morning. It was just before 5 a.m. Sunday morning on April 14th. We got a call for a structure fire. We were the first truck that was due to that fire off 8th Street between Hayes and Arthur. When we arrived on scene, we had fire in a vacant building, and there was occupants in the building next door, which was an exposure to that. And we wanted to make sure that those people were out. We were able to go in and get one gentleman out. We walked him out. My partner went upstairs to look for his wife, who was on the second floor. When we came back in, we had pretty significant fire changes. And the captain went up, and he was able to find her. Had some trouble getting her down. Me and my other partner went in, and we tried to assist him. With the fire changes, they changed dramatically while we were downstairs. When we got on scene, I remember seeing a window on the second floor in the front. The room that we were in started to flash over. We got separated. I was able to make it upstairs into the attic area. Little did I know that the window had been plywooded over, and due to some of the injuries that I had sustained downstairs, my gloves were starting to shrink. I had burns on my hands, so I didn't have a lot of dexterity. So trying to knock that window out was not an easy task, but we had a ton of great people there that morning that were able to get ladders up. They were able to get me down the ladders. I believe I was trapped on the second floor for about 9.5 minutes. I did receive burns, about 23% of my body, pretty much a lot of my backside. I had three surgeries with skin grafts done that are healing phenomenal. The staff at St. Mary's did a phenomenal job, and my home health care nurses did a phenomenal job, and had a ton of great support from the fire department, the crew I was with that day, my regular firehouse, my family, my girlfriend, and all of our family. And it's been a pretty amazing process, but we're ready to start getting back to work.
How you feeling, though? How you feeling?
Generally with my hands.
Yeah? But how are you feeling?
All right, so I guess you're okay.
Thank you, so you're okay. No, yeah. But Yeah, I mean, traumatic, obviously. Yeah. I can't imagine what those 9 minutes were like.
Seem like 9 minutes, but it was a longer time. But mentally, like, I've come to terms with a lot of things. We were able to go through and review the fire, and there was a lot of things that I had questions on that were able to be answered by other people on the call from our after action review that the department did, which they did an absolute phenomenal job. And that's going to help us grow, get better, and try and prevent as much as we can. Obviously, the job that we're in has a lot of unknowns and variables, and we try to prepare for as much as we can, but every day there's something new. So,
talking with Milwaukee firefighter Ryan McMenamin, who came pretty close in that blaze in spring, bringing in Chief Aaron Lipsky. Chief, probably for most of us, our extent of firefighting knowledge extends to what we see on TV in the drama shows. But boy, this was a real-life close call. I know you don't often speak in hyperbole. To say that Ryan here was that close to not making it out, that's significant.
Absolutely. I have to tell you that, you know, I sit and I listen to him retell this story. When you review and you listen to the radio transmissions from that morning, what Ryan was experiencing and what he was able to communicate on the radio about where he was and what his situation was, and some of the partners on that scene who had been through the training that we'll talk about shortly, it is unbelievable that Ryan in his situation and partners who are stuck, you know, there's this wall of fire between them and a whole bunch of other unknowns, that they were able to have these communications. And that information is so important at those moments. The tactical activities, the things you have to do to get to Ryan and to get him out the window. Ryan's a big boy here, right? And there's this took a ton of not just action on that day, but training and preparation and experience to get everybody in line to get him out alive. It was that close.
Do you remember the first time you saw him after they got him out and what you said to him?
I do. He had been rushed to a paramedic unit by the time I got there, so then I checked everybody else on the scene. I went to the hospital, and Ryan was laying on his back in the emergency room, if you don't mind my sharing.
Absolutely.
I put my face so he could see my face, and he goes, "Oh, hey, Chief." I said, you know, the dumbest question in the world at that moment, "How you doing?"
Yeah.
And he looked up at me, and this is when I knew he was going to be okay. He goes, "Hey, Chief, they saved my moneymaker."
And he, face.
He points to his face, and I was like, okay, he's gonna pull through here. But I mean, it ended up being a bit way more serious than that. But I mean, that's Ryan. Ryan is the firefighter's firefighter. He comes from a family of proud firefighters and would give you the shirt off his back, right? But to see him in that situation, we knew we have to start fixing this in a very huge way.
Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky and firefighter Ryan McMenamin in studio with us here on Wisconsin's Morning News. So to that end, Chief, this rapid intervention team that was able to help save Ryan's life in this situation, these are firefighters that receive special training for exactly these types of scenarios?
That's correct. We have training that Ryan's father, Tom McMenamin, is a lieutenant, retired from the Milwaukee Fire Department, and he went down and got this training many, many years ago. He's now an instructor down there. This is at the Illinois Fire Service Institute in Champaign, Illinois. And what this training is, it's a week of basically kind of full immersion, high stress, high heat, live action, just over and over. It's like from Navy SEAL training, like a hell week. You just are in it for a week straight, and they constantly are pushing you physically and mentally and psychologically through these different scenarios, and they're training you the entire time. I was through the training about 17 years ago. Ryan has been through the training. Some of the individuals who were key in his rescue had been through that training, and you can hear that on the radio. This is training that, I think every firefighter should go through it. It's extremely expensive, time intensive, it's far away, etc. But it's that important that it's something we're pushing to get as many members down to as possible.
Before we get to how people can help in that effort, Ryan, you heard the chief say, it's your dad who runs this type of training. What was that first conversation you had with your father after this and after the training that he helped guys learn saved your life?
So this is a subject that we've talked about. My dad and my brother both teach down there. And so there's a lot of dinners that we talk about firefighting stuff. There really wasn't a whole lot of talk on it. I think we were all under the same consensus that the training worked out, and it's, you know, the proof is in the pudding. And when I went down, I was actually with the first group of Milwaukee firefighters that went down. And the amount of training that you get, like Chief Lipsky said, is just phenomenal for tactical, but the mindset area is, I think, where they really excel with training under the high heat, high intensity. It's hard to really replicate that, and it truly made a difference for me, and it made a difference with the folks that were on scene. So it was well worth every single penny in my mind.
Firefighter Ryan McMenamin from the Milwaukee Fire Department, Chief Aaron Lipsky with us in studio. I want to take a quick break and then talk about an initiative that Chief Lipsky would like to move forward with and how he needs your help. We'll do that next on Wisconsin's Morning News. 8:26 on Wisconsin's Morning News. In studio, Milwaukee Fire Chief Aaron Lipsky and firefighter Ryan McMenamin. Ryan, in a spring fire earlier this year, had become trapped in a burning house, was rescued in part by a rapid intervention team. And Chief, what you would like to do is get more people, not just from MFD, but from suburban communities as well, to get this special training, which you mentioned is fairly costly.
Absolutely. We work so well with all of our partners throughout Milwaukee County and beyond, quite frankly, but we got to kind of start as, you know, somewhat local. We want to get as many firefighters from throughout the county to get down to this training. And the training is very costly. A lot of staff there to pull it off safely and effectively, a lot of supplies, et cetera. So we've got a couple of things going on. First off, this Saturday at House of Harley, which is 6221 West Layton, right around 11 o'clock, it'll get underway. There's a chili cook-off contest, and a bunch of fire stations from around the county are coming in with their best and hottest chili. You'll be able to go around and sample it. That's a great fundraiser, family-friendly. Everybody can come on in, and we'd love to see a good turnout there. It's going to
be a number of events at House of Harley. I can tell you they're not very much fun. Oh my goodness.
No,
that's going to be a blast.
Yeah. Aside from the fact that everything they do is perfect, you know,
right.
What's not to like them?
No, they put on a great show. So that again, let me get to the deets on that. Saturday, November 16th. So that's this week, Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's the chili cook-off. They're asking for a $12 minimum donation at the door, and that will benefit this rapid intervention training. And you going to be out there, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm going to try and make it out there, yep.
Nice. All right, so go out there and shake Ryan's hand as well. And then Absolutely. Something else you're doing, Chief, to help raise money as well for this.
So we've got this one's aimed a little bit more at our generous corporate types. This next Thursday, November 21st, 5:30 p.m. at everybody's favorite steakhouse, Carnivore, on North Milwaukee Street, 718 North Milwaukee, we're having a sit-down dinner where... and I'll get you the flyers if you gentlemen wouldn't
Absolutely.
Mind getting that on your website so people know how to get signed
Absolutely.
Up for this. Obviously, we're trying to raise funds with this, but Ryan is going to be present. I'll be present, and Battalion Chief Brian McNulty will be present. And we're going to hear some of the recordings from the actual incident, and Ryan will relate some of what he was experiencing in real time there. And in this... we're trying to have a real connection with the community about the very real hazards, but the very real solutions that can come from this training. So we're putting out an all call. If anybody's listening, talk to your bosses. Please sign up. Come on in. Again, the training is very expensive. This meal is a chance to connect with the actual person who was pivotal in his own rescue. Make no mistake. So that's coming up on Thursday.
I'm glad you said that, Chief, because that, Ryan, that was a part that I wanted to just double back on, that you've been through the training, and not only did those who were through the training save your life, but you going through the training yourself helped save your own life.
Yeah, absolutely. There are a lot of things that you learn in the training about, like, looking at the building, being able to try to put yourself in a better space, and make sure that that you're communicating clearly, which I got to at a certain point.
Yeah.
Not so much right away, but it was such a pivotal training to be able to not have to think about things, that they kind of help program your mind so that you're able to do it in those high-intensity moments.
So when you returned to work, how many beers did you have to buy those guys and gals who saved your life?
we'll leave that unsaid.
All right, as we wrap up, most real fire show on TV right now.
Ooh, good question.
No, never mind most real. Which one do you all watch?
Well, so on that note, obviously you can see it, they're all very realistic, but we're better looking.
That's absolutely true. Right. Much better looking.
I would say my favorite fire show that ever was on, it's not on anymore, it was on HBO, I think, was Rescue Me with Dennis Leary. There was a lot of realism in the relationships on that show that you just can't capture on primetime.
Yeah, but it happens. Every now and then you got to take the ladder truck out and there's somebody up on top who was, you know, doing various things. That happens all the time, doesn't it?
Oh,
right.
Only on Tuesdays.
Yeah. We'll wrap it up and leave it there. Chief Aaron Lipsky, Firefighter Ryan McMenamin. Ryan, so glad you're doing well. Appreciate you sharing your story.
Thank you for all the support.
And we'll continue to get all those details for the multiple fundraisers up on our website so we can get more folks the rapid intervention training. 8:31 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Oh, yeah. 8:41 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Breaking news, Trump Force One on the tarmac at Joint Base Andrews, and it appears President-elect has gotten in the motorcade to be on his way to Washington, meeting today with GOP leadership in Congress and also with President Biden.
Yeah, before he gets to the White House, he'll speak with Republicans. In fact, we spoke with Congressman Glenn Grothman an hour ago about a committee hearing that he's holding today. And he said, he's like, yeah, before I got that hearing, though, I got to go meet the president-elect again. So busy day on Capitol Hill. So yes, then Trump will end up at the White House, where there will be time with President Biden.
Despite their bitter rivalry, the White House is adamant that the American people need to see this, that this meeting is critical to underscoring the importance of a peaceful transition of power. As President Biden has said, this is how democracy works. Now, the president is also likely to use this opportunity to impress upon his successor several key issues, including the fight for Ukraine.
It's ABC's Mary Bruce. Yeah, it's not going to be just like, yeah, well, they moved the copy machine. It used to be here. Now they moved it down the hall. It's like an actual... They plan on talking a little bit about some of the policy and some of the, especially the things happening overseas, try to get to some of that.
I like that picture that you paint of Trump walking into the Oval going, where's the, this used to be over here. What, you moved this?
They moved it. They moved it. They liked it better in this other spot. So that's why it's there now. Yeah, they're going to walk through that process a little bit. Who knows? It's, I mean, you could argue it's kind of a photo op, and I think what the White House is trying to do also, I mean, could also argue it's a little passive aggressive. It's a, hey, here's what you should have done 4 years ago for me, but you didn't. I think all of that is at play. We do know that Melania Trump, not expected to be there. The incoming first lady said, nah, I don't need to come and meet with the current first lady, Jill Biden. And you would think, like, yeah, that's fine. You don't need to do every photo op that is available to you.
Never gotten the sense that this was her favorite thing to do.
In fact,
former first lady, now incoming first lady Melania Trump, that like, this is what my husband does, like decorating trees in the White House and doing these other things, like they're not my passion, it's not my interest.
There are reports that she doesn't intend on spending much time at the White House, even during his term.
So that would be a change of things as well. Yeah. But again, the President-elect Trump on his way to Capitol Hill now as we speak, as he landed at Joint Base Andrews within the hour. 8:44 on Wisconsin's Morning News. On Wisconsin's Morning News. Some new information and perspective on our missing kayaker who, well, while he is still missing, he ain't dead.
Right. Ryan Borkwart, the guy from the Watertown area who went missing while kayaking in August at Green Lake. So this is in Green Lake County. They searched and searched for him, searched and searched, found his kayak, found wallet, keys, all these different things, but never found him. Well, it turns out, according to the Green Lake County Sheriff, that the man himself is likely living in Europe right now. They believe he snuck into Canada, actually using his passport, the day after he went missing. And then after that, ultimately made it to Uzbekistan, where he met a woman. Now, excuse me. Now, when we were talking to Dr. Ken Harris of 101.7 The Truth, former Milwaukee police lieutenant, about this, a couple of things. He said, first of all, faking your death is not as hard as you think. Because we wondered, we're like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Like, he's got three kids. He's got a wife. Like, what in the world? Why not just divorce? He goes, well, there's obviously a lot of other things at play that we likely don't know about. But actually faking your death, not that difficult in certain respects. His point was that it's more difficult to stay hidden than it would be to necessarily get off the grid.
I think what's interesting is he pulled off the initial, which is left the car, left the keys, left the wallet.
Somehow made it to Canada.
Right, but and you're thinking like, you know, all of those indications that you look like, because if you got an overturned kayak, but the car's gone and the wallet's gone, like, nah, something's suspicious here. But
right.
So the scene looked well preserved and well staged, but it was the financial stuff, it's the computer records that Ken says, nah, we can always find that.
So why do you do it? Is it really just falling in love with a woman you met online? Are you catfish? What could it be? Well, interesting theory from Ken himself. Here's what he said earlier this morning on the program.
Personally, I think he's been radicalized.
Meaning
that he met somebody and it was a honey trap and, oh, we love each other, but you don't really know her because you've never met her. Or
she
might have made a trip over here and you all met and then she went back and now she wants you to come. It could be a series of, you know, incidences that we don't know about. But I think in the end, he's probably radicalized.
I mean, how do we know that he's even alive, depending on what went down or who he was interacting with? You have no idea.
Did you get the sense that Ken meant radicalized as in, like, perhaps by, like, a terror network? Or you hear of that from time to time, is they'll work somebody over online and bring them over with various promises and then have that person become a part of the group.
I think that's generally where we've been using that term of late, but I don't think that's necessarily the only definition of radicalized, that
understood.
It has to be a terrorist.
That someone got
situation.
Inside his head and convinced him of things that otherwise he might not
because
have come up with on his own.
It really didn't make any sense. Like, you heard the sheriff speak on this on Friday, and the sheriff was like, come home. Like, I had to tell his wife and kids, no, the man you thought was dead is still alive, and faked it. Like, that, imagine being told that your loved one actually, no, did not perish, that your loved one did this intentionally.
And I thought it was interesting also what Dr. Ken said about whether or not any crimes were committed. Maybe if there was financial fraud or anything like that, and you'd have to have a full revelation of all the financial records and what was done. But outside of that, it's not illegal to just wander off.
Right. You're right.
Right? So what ability would the government have... would authorities have to bring him back here if even they do ever find him?
And you could argue restitution for the amount of time spent looking for him. Well, we pose that to the law enforcement official, too. And he goes, well, you know, they were just doing their job. Like, that's their job. So Ken kind of threw a little bit of water on that idea, too, that they could force him back and demand all types of money to
you
be
You think
repaid.
They find him? Or he turns up somewhere?
Oh. Yes, only because the world ain't that big. But here's why they wouldn't. Because there's no one looking for him. It's not like the CIA, unless there's something we don't know about. Or the U.S. Marshals or anyone's right. Searching Uzbekistan right now for this guy, right? Like, why would you unless he was posing some type of threat? Fascinated by it.
8:51, Wisconsin's Morning News. WTMJ 5-day forecast sponsored by Dave Drake Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. High of 53 degrees today. Should be rainy by tonight. Rain likely overnight. Low down to 48. High 54 on Thursday with some showers early. Friday's high 53. 55 on Saturday under partly to mostly cloudy skies. And Sunday looks pretty good. Mostly cloudy. Slight chance of showers. And a high of 58.
Dar says a little trivia tonight, right?
Trivia night tonight. Cafe Hollander in Wauwatosa. Capco Kids to Kids. We are raising money for them. We are taking your donations of a new unwrapped gift for a young person. So it doesn't all have to be like baby toys and smaller kids. Think of teens and tweens and that age group as well. Greg Pancake Hill, producer of this program, and I will be present. Please attend anyway. That's a joke, see?
Oh,
you were so supposed to laugh at that.
Or come next week when I'm doing it, yeah.
So, yeah, this is the first one. It's our kickoff. We work with Capco Kids to Kids every year, providing thousands of toys for children in need. Yeah. Greg Hill, what is our duty tonight? What is our charge?
Be the best that we can be.
You're the producer. What am I supposed to do here
No,
tonight?
We'll be hosting. It's going to be great. We're going to be facilitating. You know, obviously, we'll kick the event off. We have raffles mid-trivia, by the way.
Okay.
So we'll be giving away prizes and things like that. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah. So we'd love to see so many of you out tonight. Again, Cafe Hollander in Wauwatosa for Trivia Night. Trivia 7 to 9. We'll get
Tosa
started a little bit before
come
that.
Come on out.
Also, if you'd like to offer a financial contribution to Capco Kids to Kids, you can do that online. We need you to text the word Capco. It's K-A-P-C-O to the WTMJ Talk and Text line, 855-616-1620.
Now, you can pick which show you want to donate on behalf of. We encourage you to donate on behalf of Wisconsin's Morning News. Maybe kick in a little something nice for you if you do that.
Your favorite show here on WTMJ. Yeah. And then your next favorite show is WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi. That is up next.